All right, our reading will be taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, starting in verse number 11. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country. And there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still afar off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Amen. Now, put your Bible down, your device down. I want you to turn to your neighbor. Don't grab him by the hand. Look your neighbor square in the eye. And as you look in your neighbor square in the eye, point at yourself. Point at yourself as you look your neighbor square in the eye and say, "Neighbor, my heavenly Father sees my value. Neighbor, my heavenly Father sees my value." Amen. You may be seen. We have entitled our message this morning, "My Heavenly Father sees my value." This is the story about the prodigal son. But in some ways, I would like to debate that, it being the story about the son, more so than the story about the father. Because we're going to go and look at this, and then you tell me how you want to view it. But the reason why we talk about the prodigal son, because the prodigal son is the one that went through what's called shifts and changes. Because the story starts off with Jesus telling those who were listening to him that there was a man who had two sons. One son got a sniff of the air of somewhere else.
Oh yeah.
Looked somewhere else and figured life was better over there.
Well.
Whereas the oldest son was in so many ways trying to replicate the actions of his life to make them such as his father's. But the younger son said that there has to be more to life than where I am. And because of that, the younger son goes to the father, says to the father, check out what he says. Give me my inheritance. Give me my inheritance. Because he wanted his part. And the way it worked, in the way the custom, the Jewish custom was, is that it was viable at times that the father could give the inheritance to the children prior to his demise. Like if he had a business, and as he had the business and now he was getting too frail to run the business, he would divide the business between his sons. And if he had two sons, the oldest would get 2/3 and the youngest would get 1/3. So what was happening here was that the youngest realized that I want my 1/3 because I got a sniff of life outside of where I am. And when he made the request to the father, Deacon Booth, the father did not engage in conversation. The father did not question why the son wanted it. The father just went on and did it. And as he did it, I want you to know that the son got his piece, Brother Botts. And when the son got his piece, he took everything he had. And within a day, you know what he said to his father? See ya. He was out. And he went to the foreign land. Large and in charge. Wasn't nobody a bigger baller than what he was. But I want you to understand something. If you got something in your pocket and you don't have a plan for what you got in your pocket, what you got in your pocket can be gone in a blink of an eye. You see, if you're just taking what you got and you were squandering it, the Bible says he squandered what he had. He squandered it because of, and King James says, in riotous living. And dissolute living. So you know the brother was out there. He wasn't hanging out on like a Wall Street. Back in the day he was hanging out on like 42nd Street. But we're not going there. All right. He was living the life that he thought he should have been living. But as he was living that life was doing something to him. It was like a mosquito. But it happened to be a large mosquito. The whole purpose of a mosquito landing on you is to land on you and be able to get as much blood from you without you even knowing it. All right. Isn't that how mosquitoes work? Yeah. More times than not, you done got bit about 5 or 6 times before you see that one mosquito in you. But all the other ones said, well, sorry about Georgie over there, but I'm glad I got mine. Are you following what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You see, but that's what sin is. Sin is there to suck the life out of us. And while he was there living this riotous living, a dissolute living, he squandered everything. Why? Because sin was sucking the life from him, and everything he had was being sucked from him. Because Mother Austin, he got a sniff of what life was over there. And thought it had a good aroma. And when he looked at the grass, Deacon Alex, he thought the grass was a little greener than where he was standing. He thought that that was that smooth grass that would continue to grow no matter what was going on. He thought everything was better than what he had. But what I want us to understand, that don't you know our problems run in the most, is when we think that what we see over there is better than what we have right here. You see, many of us have gotten ourselves in trouble because we thought it was better over there than where we are right now. Some of us thought the way that we were raised, because all we had was a pot-belly stove, ain't have electricity to make us, give us heat. We thought that those that were over there living across the tracks and had all that stuff, that they were better off than we are. But the one thing that we had in our house is that love was all up in that house. Peace was all up in that house. Joy was all up in that house. Even though there wasn't nothing but a pot of beans to go around with just a little bit of meat, we had everything that we needed because love was all up in the house. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? But there might have been some folk across the tracks that might have had a whole lot more than you, but there was no love in the house.
All right. Go ahead, boy.
That's it. I feel like preaching for a few minutes. You see, what we're seeing happening here is that this young man was selfish.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted what he wanted it what he wanted, and he wanted it when?
Now.
When did the Father give it to him?
Now.
And what does he have? Now he has. But it's interesting that once he ran out of money, famine hit the land, Sister B. The famine hit the land at the exact time the brother didn't have even a penny to rub next to his finger. He was broke. And now that he is broke, the one thing that probably could come to mind is that I don't have anything. And nobody in this land is helping me. And I guarantee you, while the brother was out there flashing his what he had all kinds of friends. No, all he had was a bunch of leeches on him. A whole bunch of folk that would vacuum everything from him that he would throw at them. And you know what? I want you to understand, you can't buy no friends. And he thought that his money had bought him a whole bunch of friends. But once it was all over and once he didn't have any money, he didn't get any help from who? Anybody. Nobody would give him what? Anything. So that is letting us know that folk who say they love you, you find out how folk really love you is when you find out that you don't have anything. But I want you to know, when you start scraping the bottom of the barrel and there's nobody there to come by and put something in there for you, that's telling you that the world don't care 2 cents about you. But I want you to understand that that's why we got to remember the love that we got back at home. Because that love back at home might not have had everything you wanted, but there was love in the home. But come on, let's go. But what we're seeing here in the story is that first he was selfish. Now that he has nothing, you would think he would realize, well, I just need to go back home. But the brother wouldn't go back home. You know why? Because he was stubborn. And his pride got in the way. You know how I know his pride got in the way? Because he hired himself out, Reverend Rhodes, to go work for a man who had a pig farm. And here he is, a Jew, who knows that big pigs are considered to be an unclean animal for Jews to even be in the same vicinity with. But here he is out in the pig farm feeding pigs, got himself money, smelling like pigs. And then all of a sudden he is here. Why? Because he's stubborn and his pride has gotten in the way. You see, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So this man should have been standing for something. But he decided to fall for anything. And to the point where he is degrading his own religious beliefs about how they are not to be a part of an environment that has pigs. And here he is feeding these pigs these pods or slop. But you know what happens when you get lower than a worm? Pig slop will start smelling good too. I'm not making it up. It's right here in scripture. Do you see where it is in scripture? It says in scripture that he would, in verse 16, he would have gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him what? That brother was saying that, boy, digging wild. He's saying, boy, that pig slop smell real good right now. You see, when you at the bottom and you are hungry, don't you know stuff you wouldn't consider, now you're considering.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Some folks say they are picky eaters. Okay, let me see how picky you are when you start starving. Are you following what I'm saying? Whereas we walk by some garbage, we say, oh, that stuff stinks. But if somebody don't have nothing to eat and they ate in a few days, they say something smelled good up in there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, when sin can suck the life out of you to the point where the stuff that you would not even consider now has a possibility. That is letting us know that there is problems. That is letting us know that if we're not careful, sin will suck the life out of us to the point that we will even put ourselves in harm's danger to eat stuff that we know we shouldn't be touching. And when this brother was about to do something stupid, there's something that happened, because all of a sudden, I want you to know that if you started with God, some of us might have been to church as kids and didn't realize, but by you going there was something that God gave you that you didn't even know you had. And I want you to understand something, that the essence of God exists in every individual that lives. Why? Because God is the one that breathe the breath of life into the entire world. So if God is the one who's breathing the breath of life into the entire world, the essence of who God is exists in all of us. You don't believe me? Some folk call themselves atheists, but when 9/11 hit, you know what everybody said? Oh my God. Oh, that's just a saying. Yeah, okay, because the essence of who God is, you're calling out to him because he's inside of you. But check this out. We read in verse 16 about how he would have gladly eaten the pods, food for pigs. Why? Because no one gave him anything. But then verse 17 starts with my favorite conjunction. Because whenever you see that conjunction that says what? That's telling you you're about to turn the corner, which means you're not going the same direction, but you are about to make a turn. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor. It's time for a turn. Because it says in verse 17, but when he came to himself. Did y'all see that? It says, but when he came to himself. That's saying that when he came to himself and realized that, wait a minute, I am not living the way I was raised to live. I am not doing the things I was raised to do. I am going contrary to all the things I've been taught with, all the things I've been blessed with. I'm finding myself doing just the opposite of how I was raised. You see, and that's why the Bible says, train up a child in the way they ought to go. And when they are old, they will not depart. They might stray for a while, but I want you to know that they're going to come back to themselves. They're going to realize that I'm going down the wrong road. I'm making some bad decisions. But Lord, I thank you that you allowed me to come to myself. Allow me to realize the truth of what I am doing right now, and that which I'm doing right now is wrong in your sight. It's time for me to make a change. It's time for me to get on the right track, because right now I'm on the wrong track. So when he came to himself, he stepped from the wrong track to get back on the right. Oh, somebody gonna work with me. So as he has gotten on this right track, check this out. He says, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare, but here I am dying of hunger. The truth is that he came to the truth of realizing that his stubbornness and his pride was about to have him swirl further down. You see, but I'm so thankful before God's grace and mercy. Because God's grace and mercy always finds a way of swooping us up while there is still time. I'm thankful for God's grace and mercy that always steps in right on time. He may not come when you want him, but he'll be there when. Because God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I don't work on your time clock. You work on my time clock. You might thought it was too late, but it wasn't too late. Because whenever God steps in, I want you to know it is right on. You see, I want you to understand that the reason why God had to wait so late, because God wanted him to know that I want you to see the direction you're going. I want you to see what you are about to do. But at that point, I'm going to hit the pause button for you.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm about to die from hunger. And here I am about to do something stupid, eat what pigs are about to eat. But then God allowed him to come to himself. And when he came to himself, he was able to see the truth. You see, the truth is the only thing that's going to do what? Set us free. You can't be set free without the what? Truth. So if you want to find yourself in truth, you got to come to yourself. You got to see yourself for what you are, where you are, and what you are doing. You want to see God make some changes in your life. You want to see God perform some miracles. You got to tell God the what? Truth. You got to see the what? Truth. And you got to understand that right now, I'm not living the... And what this man realized was that he wasn't living the truth. The truth wasn't moving in his life. He was doing everything contrary to that because he was selfish, he was stubborn, he was prideful. But I want you to know that no matter how much we messed up, God still loves us. Amen? And what the Lord was doing was giving this man another chance. He gave him another chance and moved him away from his situation just long enough for him to see where he was. Here I am. In the pig pen. Dirty and muddy. And smelling like pigs. And that's where he came to himself. You know, you don't know where you're going to be at when God reveals the truth to you. I don't know where you were when God revealed the truth to you. But I know where I was when God revealed the truth to me. And when he revealed the truth to me, my life has not been the same. And you know what? That's not just my story. Isn't that your story? I don't know where your pig pen was, but I want you to know, didn't God meet you in your pig pen? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm so glad he ain't leave me there. You see, my brothers and my sisters, when you think about what the Lord has brought you from, when you think about how he turned you around, when you think about how messed up you were and where you were at, but didn't God come and pick you up and clean you up and turn you around? You see, that's how come the people of God don't ever come to church and sit in here and act like it's not a big deal. We are here because we are praising the one who came and got us out of our own pig pen. He's done something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. Do I got any witnesses in God's house that understand how much God loves you, what God brought you from, what God doing in you right now? Somebody ought to say thank you. You see, hold on y'all, we still got some work. We still got some work. We still got some work here. This young man came to the realization that, you know what? My daddy's servants are living better than I am right now. The hired hands, the slaves, the servants, all of them are living better than me. My daddy's taking so good care of them that they got enough bread to eat. And then they got something to eat a little bit later, Nicole. All
right.
This is when he realizes what's going on. But you know where he made a mistake? Mm-hmm. He did the right thing because he said, I'm going back home. Right. But he made a mistake of thinking that he now is cheap. Okay. I'm going to let that sink in. You know why he thinks he's cheap? Because he said, you know what? I'm going to go to my father. And I already got my line together. I'm going to come and tell my daddy, Daddy, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just receive me back as one of your hired hands. Cheap. He was looking at himself now. Because of the mistake that he made, he thought he was what? Cheap. And because he's thinking he's cheap, he says, when I go back to my father, I just want my father to take me back because I know I am. Isn't that how he sees himself? Because he no longer sees him as his own father's son. Why? Because he squandered away everything his father gave him. He realized that all the things that he has done, he does not deserve to be able to come into the presence of his father and call him daddy. He feels that he is incapable of saying to his father, Daddy, because of the fact that I have messed up what you've given me. I've taken the best that you have and I squandered it. And now the brother gets up out the pig pen and he begins to progress and go home. Stinky, smelly, dried up mud, smelling like pigs. But he's making his way home. And when he looks at himself, what does he see? Somebody who is cheap. Mm. Yes. How many people of God are in his place, on this place right now? Feel that you have been cheap. Because of the mistakes you made, because of the sins you committed, you think that now you are cheap. I'm just happy to be in church. I'm just happy God brought me back. I'm just happy to be here. He ain't gonna bless me no more. I'm just glad to be from where I was, because now I don't deserve it because I think I am. This is where this young man is. He thinks he's cheap now. So as he's making his way to his father, and as he draws closer to home, he might even see his father's house from a distance. But as he's approaching, he doesn't see his father. But the interesting thing that the Bible tells us, and it tells us here in verse number 20. So he set off and went to his father. But while he was far, while was still far off,
yes,
his father saw him.
Oh, yeah.
Do you see that?
Yeah.
He didn't see his daddy. That's telling us that from the day he left, his father was always looking, because he knew he was going to. He knew he was going to come back. He knew he was going to come back. I didn't know what kind of condition he was going to be in, but it don't matter. The father said, I know he's going to come back. And when the father saw him from a distance, he was filled. His father saw him and was filled with what? And he ran and put his arms around him. And what did he do? Now, wait a minute. Now, the father saw him from a distance. And when the father saw him from a distance, the father had compassion. The father had love still for his son. And when he saw his son, he ran to his son. He hugged this muddy, dirty, pig smelling young man. He still hugged him, and he didn't just hug him. What did he do, y'all? He said, I don't care the condition that he looked like. I want him to understand that I still love him, that I still care for him, that I have not cheapened him. But the son right now is feeling. Just like sometimes when we come to church after we know we done messed up. We come to church and we feel. And it seems that everybody looking at us and they can see that we are. So when we come to service, all we do is sit there and be quiet, because in our minds we are. But we have, but and then the reason why we think that we're cheap is because we count more of our mistakes than we count our blessings. And we think our mistakes have outnumbered our blessings. And since our mistakes have outnumbered our blessings in our mind, that means that we see ourselves as being. So the father hugs him, muddy, pig smelling, but he still kisses him. Right? Do we see the story? Am I making this up? Then the son, stand up for a second, Reverend Rose, if you don't mind. Right? Now, you the son. Right? No, I'm the son. Hug me. You the father, right? But I'm like, wait a minute, daddy. I got to tell you something. I've sinned against heaven and before you. I ain't worthy to be called your son anymore. You have a seat now, Reverend Rose. But you know what happened at that point? The father said to his servants, go on and get him a robe. He ain't even respond to what he said, because he's letting his son know, I ain't responding to nothing that's cheap, because I don't have no cheap kids. I have kids that have. And since all my kids have value, I will not allow myself to even speak to something that's cheap. Because you're not cheap. The statement you're saying is cheap, but that's not who you are to me. So no matter what you said, I'm going to ignore it. He went and told them, go get the best robes. Put it over his shoulders. Go on and put the ring on his finger. Get him some sandals to put on his feet. You know why that's important, y'all? You know why those three things are important? You see, I want you to know, Sister Rose, the robe represents honor. So what the father was letting the son know, you have not lost any honor. Since you haven't lost any honor, I want you to know I'm still honoring you, even though I know when I look at you that everything I sent you out ain't nothing come back but you and some mud. and some pics, ma'am. But it don't matter what you look like. I want you to know I'm glad you are here because I still see your value. So I'm going to put this robe on you to let you know that you still have what? And he said, guess what? Give me your hand. He put the ring on his finger to let him know that you still have authority because you are still one of my children. Yes, you've fallen. Yes, you've making some mistakes, but you are not cheap because look, I put the ring on your finger to let you know that you have authority. You are still a part of this family. You are not a nobody. You are somebody. You are one of my children and you are not cheap. And then he said, look at them muddy feet. All that crusty mud in between the toes. Smelling like pee. He had his servants put sandals on his feet. The whole purpose of the sandals on the feet is to let you know that you are free. You was free to leave. But now you have been freed to come back. And now that you are free and you are here, you have to know that you have honor, you have authority, and you have been set free. And I want you to know that you are not what? Cheap. You see, my brothers and my sisters, I know everybody up in here and made some mistakes. I know all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But don't you ever think that you are what? Cheap. Because you are not cheap. You are still honored by God. God has given you authority and God has set you free. Do I got any folk in here who God has honored? Do I got any folk in here that God has given authority? Do I got any folk in here who have been set free? Do I have any folk in here who realize that, you know what? I made some mistakes, but the Lord has turned me around. I've fallen short, but the Lord has picked me up. Why? Because God has let me know that I am not cheap. And since I ain't cheap, the Father lets me know I ain't cheap. And after he lets him know that he's not cheap, and he puts the robe, the ring, and the sandals on his feet, he tells his servants, y'all go on in. Kill a fatty cat. And once you do, we about to have a celebration going up in him. And you know why we're about to have a celebration? Verse 24 tells us, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is what? Found. And they began to party. They began to celebrate. But they began to party. Not like the party in the club. A Holy Ghost party, right? Because ain't no party like a Holy Ghost party. Because a Holy Ghost party don't. Did y'all hear that? So what is that telling us? What is that telling us for those saints of us who are in God's house? When God sends some folk here to us who have been rejected, neglected, toe up from the flow up, but they come saying, what must I do to be saved? That's the time for the people of God that know the Lord. We ought to be having a celebration. Why? Because we reflect back on where the Lord brought us from. Because guess what? We didn't deserve it, but didn't God bless us? They don't deserve it, but isn't God going to bless them? And we want to celebrate the God whom we serve, because the God whom we serve has told us that we are not cheap. We got too many folk in God's house thinking that you're cheap because you've made some mistakes. But I'm here to tell you, you're not cheap. You know how I know you ain't cheap? Because they didn't pay a nickel for you. They ain't pay $500 for you. They ain't pay $1,000 for you. They ain't pay $1,000,000 for you. I want you to know that you were priceless. You are priceless. And the only person who had enough funding in order to buy you back, his name is
Jesus.
And I want you to understand something. When Jesus bought us back, I want you to know that he did not take the approach of a chicken. And the reason why he didn't take the chicken approach, you see, because the chicken is involved with breakfast. Y'all know that, right? And you know what the chicken brings to the breakfast? A whole bunch of eggs. And after it drops its eggs, it just keep on clucking. Right? But I want you to understand that but the pig got involved with breakfast. Well, but in order for the pig to get involved with breakfast, the pig had to give his what? All. So there was nothing left of the pig that could breathe anymore. All you could do was smell that bacon and that fat back and all them sausages over there frying on that frying pan. Why? Because the pig gave its all. And I want you to understand, I ain't trying to make you hungry, but you are going to be. But what I want you to understand is that we serve a God who had to give his all in order to buy us back. He could not give just a part of himself. He had to give his all to buy us back. And that right there lets you know one thing. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I don't care what I've done, but I am not cheap. You see, I want you to understand today. Don't you dare sell yourself short. You are not what? Cheap. You are valuable to God. You are priceless to God. And the only way God can get you back is that the Son had to come and pay the ultimate price for you and I to have life and have it more abundantly. That's why when we come up into our daddy's house, we come up in here rejoicing, praising God, knowing he brought us a mighty long way, knowing he gave his all for us. I don't even know how you're sitting down right now, because when you think about all that the Lord has done for you, when you think about what he paid to get you, when you think about the sacrifice he made for you, you can't help but give him the glory, the honor, and the praise, because the Father through the Son was letting us know that we are not cheap. And since you ain't cheap, you got to live your life like you ain't cheap. You don't let folk walk all over you. You don't let them treat you any kind of way. You don't let them talk to you any kind of way. Because you are not. And since I ain't cheap, why ain't I cheap? Because I'm a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am somebody. Because if I wasn't nobody, Jesus never would have come. That's telling me that I am not cheap. Why? Because Jesus is letting us know the Father sees your value. And since he sees your value, he wants you to see in you what he sees in you. My challenge to you this day is learn to see yourself the way the Father sees you. Because the Father does not see something that's cheap. Because you don't put something good on something cheap. You do not put brand new tires on a junkyard car. Somebody going to think about that for a second.
Amen.
But what I'm here to tell you, ain't nobody in here junk. Ain't nobody in here cheap. We've all have fallen short. We all have made mistakes. We all have stumbled along the way. We all have fell sometimes flat on our faces. But no matter what, I don't care how folk called you sorry, cheap, and a whole bunch of other names. I'm here to tell you that I am a child of God. I am priceless. If you know you are priceless, turn and give three folk a high five and say to them, I am priceless. Give three folk a high five and tell them, I am priceless. Go on and give three folk a high five and tell them, I am priceless. Go on and tell them. Tell them, because you're not convincing them. You're telling them what you already know. I am priceless. You know why? Because my Heavenly Father sees my value. I am not perfect. You're not perfect. But the Father sees our. And since he sees our value, he gave his best while we were at our worst. Just like the Father put the robe, the ring, and the sandals on a muddy mess. But he wasn't thinking about the mud, because he wasn't seeing the mud. He was seeing what was on the inside. You see, I thank God that he don't see us the way we see us. God sees us from the inside. I know that when you look at us on the outside, we ain't all out of bag of chips, two sodas, and a shake on the side. But I want you to know that when the Father looks at us, he sees our value on the inside. inside. I want you to understand that you have to learn how to know that the Lord sees the best in you. And you know what he is saying? If the best exists in you, he wants that best to come out of you. Stop holding back what God is giving you. Let the best come out of you. It's time for you to spread your wings. Come out right now, because God's got the best in store for you, because he already sees it in you, and he wants you to see it in yourself. And once you see it, then it can what? Come out. It's time for the best to come out of you. I don't care how old you are, there's still the best in you. Mother Austin is 90 plus. There it is. And you know what Mother Austin said? She still wants the best to come out of her. And if she's 97 and saying she still wants the best to come out of her, do we got anybody else in here 97? So guess what? Sister Barbara Ann, God wants the best to come out of you. Marilyn, God wants the best. Chardine, God wants the best. Lionel, God wants the best. Amen. Are y'all working with me? God wants the best to come out of you. Why? Because my Heavenly Father sees my value. He don't see the mud. He knows it's there. But he says there's something beyond the mud. So my brothers and sisters, it's time for us as the people of God to lift up our heads, spread our wings, and now move forward and let that best come out of us. Because it's in you. Jesus would not have come for something that was worth nothing. He came because the best is in us. And all the enemy is trying to do is just keep it covered, not allow us to see it. But what I'm telling you today, Jesus is saying it's time for it to come out. And it's there. And it can come out. But you have to say enough. Amen. I am not cheap. Amen. I am priceless. Yes. Jesus came to redeem me. Yes. And he has the best for me. Because I have value. Yes. Now it's time for the best to come out of me.
Amen.
You and I have to stop holding back the best that exists within us.